Welcome to this sermon podcast from Mayo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
God's will be done. Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, Father, as we come, we do thank you for this day that we have before us. We thank you for the wonderful snow and the moisture that it'll bring with it, and all the fire hazards that we've had now are down. There's no chance of fire with this, but Lord, we thank you for the water that we'll have in the lakes and in the ponds and different things. It's a blessing, and we just ask that you would watch over Pastor and his wife and bless them as they're away. And Lord, just bring them back refreshed, and we ask that the Spirit of God tonight would have his will and his way in each heart and life. And I ask, dear Holy Spirit, you'll use me and speak through me. May I be the ambassador that you would have me to be. And I'll thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Second Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to try and be like Pastor does tonight. I'm not going to try and take a lot of time, so we'll get into verse 12, and then we'll work from there. Verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And I want to speak to you the safest place for the soul, or about the safest place for the soul tonight. And the joy of knowing Jesus, and Paul said, as we just got through reading, "I know whom I have believed." That's one thing that we need to get settled in our hearts and in our minds. I know last time that I spoke here, we talked about knowing for sure that one is saved, knowing for sure that you have eternal life. And the Word of God says that we can know, not hope so. There's a lot of people, if you talk to them and ask them, and I know Brother Chuck's run into a lot of them, they say, "If you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" And they say, "Oh, I hope so." That's not much comfort, hoping so. But the Word of God tells us we can know that we have eternal life. And he gives us the Word of God that we can know it. He talks to us through his Word. He doesn't come in the middle of night. I tell people if he's coming and talking to you in the middle of the night and giving you some new visions and different things, you better quit going to McDonald's and putting a lot of extra onions on your hamburger before you go to bed, because it'll do things to you. Take it from me. If you don't know for sure, just believe me. Peter knew Jesus. He says, "God has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And that's in found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And I'm not going to go there right now again because, like I said, I'm not going to take a lot of time tonight. I'm looking here at the clock. And I like that right there where I can see it. And then the second thing is the mighty Christ. He's a mighty Christ. He is he has the might to create. He did create. He created all things that were, and all things were made by him. Without him, there wasn't anything that was made. In John chapter 1 and verse 3, if we go back over into Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we know all the other things it says about it, but he created these things from nothing. There was no Big Bang theory, you know, no more than, well, I shouldn't say with the people that we have in our colleges and things teaching today, I think some of them did probably come from monkeys. I didn't, though. And I know that you would say, I didn't. God made us in the image of himself, the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, made us in their image. So if you want to look and get a little bit of an idea of what God will look like, I know God is a spirit and we need to worship in him in spirit and in truth. But yet we can get an idea what God must look like. And I have to say what God must look like. One day we'll know. Today we look through that dark glass that it talks about in the Word of God. Today we don't understand everything. There's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things that I just knew over 51 years ago. I had an answer, and I mean I knew. There wasn't anything that you couldn't ask me that I didn't have an answer for. And there may be some here tonight, the younger people, you know, when you've got a little bit of education, some of you've got quite a bit of education, so now you know it. You've got it made. Be careful, you're walking on ice or greased glass. I said something to my brother. I said, you know, one time, not too long ago when I was trying to witness to him, I said, I don't have all the answers. There was a time I had all the answers. But I'm kind of like Dr. Malone was after he'd been in the ministry about 35 years. And Al Green came to him, that's a friend of mine that was in seminary at the time, or Bible college. And he went up to Dr. Malone and he says, Dr. Malone, could you tell me exactly what this verse means? And I liked the way Dr. Malone was because he was always thinking. And he said, well, Al, I'll tell you. If you would have asked me that 35 years ago, I could have given you an answer. But now I'm not so sure. There's some of us that we've got a lot of answers. Now, I've got a different Bible tonight because my other one's getting so yellow and stuff in the paper, and it's starting to fall apart like an eggshell. So I thought I better give it up for a little while because my son said, Dad, I want that Bible. So I probably ought to leave him part of it. Been putting scotch tape in it for the last 5-6 years to hold it together. So I've got this new one, but you know, it seems to read the same way as the other one. So I believe it's a good book. We stick with the old King James 16:11, we'll be all right. He's a mighty recreator. Jesus is a mighty recreator. And you say, wait a minute, recreator? Christ comes into a person's heart and changes the man, and he gives him a new heart. He makes him over. He transforms him and from a child of Satan to a child of God. And only Christ can do that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a verse that a person quoted to me in General Motors truck and coach many years ago. He asked me if I was a Christian. He said I didn't smell like one, I didn't talk like one, didn't act like one either. And if he'd have been talking about anything else, I'd have just given him a knuckle sandwich for break time and that would have been it. But when he was talking about the things of the Lord and the Spirit of God was working in my heart, and he gave me that verse that any man that was in Christ is a new creature or new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the Spirit of God took that verse and worked in my heart And I had to ask myself, what's different about me from the time I called myself a Christian from the time that I didn't call myself a Christian? The only difference was I was over 21. Now I could do what I wanted to do pretty well. That's not a very good answer, is it? And it was just maybe a month after that I went and I went to Emmanuel Baptist Church and I heard the gospel preached. I'd heard it before. But this time when I heard it, the Spirit of God says, this is what you need. This is what you need. If you're here tonight and I don't know your heart, only God knows your heart. I can't judge anybody and I'm not going to. But if you're here tonight and you're wondering where you're going to spend eternity or wondering if you were to die tonight, which direction would you go? It's like the little guy said, I don't know which direction I'd go, if I'd go up or if I'd go down. Well, before that day was over, he knew which direction he'd go because we was able to lead him to the Lord. Keeping Christ. Paul said there, and we've already read some of the verse, but he is able to keep that him. And he has a record of those who have accepted him. God has a record who has accepted Jesus Christ by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, none of us can go up and we can say, well, you know, before God, well, I did this and I did this and I did this. But Isaiah 64, 6 says the most righteous thing we can do in the eyes of God is as a filthy rag. And I won't draw you any pictures other than it's a maggot-infested outfit that just, the only thing you can do with something like that is just take and throw it in the fire and burn it up or bury it. That's how much our works are before God and trying to earn some favor with God or earn our way into heaven by what we do or how great we are or how many good works we do. Because we can't do anything. When Jesus said it's finished, and that's just a few days ago that we celebrated the finished work of Jesus on Calvary's cross. When he said it's finished and gave up the ghost and died and was taken off that cross and buried, it was over with. But thank God that he didn't stay in that grave. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us if he didn't raise, we wouldn't have no Savior. We wouldn't have any hope. We would be, of most people, miserable. But thank God he did raise. Thank God he's risen. Thank God when the angels there and the people came, Mary and the others came to see Jesus, and actually they came to do some more prep on the body after he was already dead, and they figured he's dead. They didn't remember what he said he was going to do. But then sometimes I think, you know, there's things in our lives that we're instructed and we're told about, things that are going to come to pass, and we say, okay, yeah, I'm right. And then just, it goes off. But you see, the promises of God, the word of God is settled forever in heaven, and when God says something, there's no question on what God says. Whatever God says, it's settled, it's finished, it's done. There's no discussion on that. I had people get pretty angry at me a few years ago. I said, you know, and now as an individual I can say this. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. It settles it in my heart. But when it comes to making a general statement, God said it, that settles it. And what I do about it, or what you do about it, or somebody else does about it, is going to determine their eternal destiny. Doesn't make any difference if you believe it or not. Doesn't change a thing about the Word of God. It's already settled in heaven. Doesn't change. You can't take any of the, what do we call them, punctuation marks and things we call them, you know, a jot or tittle that talks about it. Well, that's, you know, making little marks and periods and different things. Not even any of that's going to change in God's Word. Now, if I write it, I usually hand it over to the wife and say, proofread it. And she, she what are you trying to say anyway? Thank God for a good wife. Now, I did not give her this tonight, so you can't blame her for anything I'm saying, because she didn't go back and proofread it, okay? I haven't had her write me a message since yesterday. No, I don't do that. Not unless I have her rewrite it after I scribble it down. I'm going to have to get a different typewriter one of these days so both of us can type. But that crazy thing we got now, it won't give you capital letters, and half the time it won't do what you want it to do. I think the best place for it, I was going to say, was Sam Allen's, but that was in Pontiac, out here or somewhere, you know, one of those recycle places. Be a good place for that one we got now. But that's okay. But Paul said he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. He keeps the soul. Paul knew the value of a soul. The value of a soul is the blood of Christ, the payment. That's the value. God's only begotten Son was given. If it would have been only one person that needed to be saved, God would have given his only begotten Son for that one person. That's the value of a soul. We think about that and think, you know, John 3:16, how much God loved us and he gave his Son. And that whoever puts their faith and trust in him, he says, I'll give them eternal life and they'll never perish. That's a promise from God, and he can't lie. He keeps our good deeds too. He keeps a record of them. There is a day coming when we're going to be judged. We're going to stand before the Lord, those of us that know him. Everything that we've done since we've become a child of God, everything that we've done, he has a record of. My prayer is that when that day does come, that it's not all hay, wood, and stubble. I spent about 2 hours the other night writing inside of and doing a lot of prayer and a lot of thinking, choosing the words and verses and things. As I sent a card out to a friend of mine, it's been a friend for, well, you can add it up, since 1945. That's a couple years ago. But he'll say, well, you know, it's good to be saved, but then, you know, you can lose it. And I try and tell people when they start talking that way, I say, wait a minute. If you can lose it, you never had it. And then the second thing, it depends on who's trying to do the keeping or who's doing the keeping. Now, if we're in Jesus' hands in John chapter 10, verses, 27 through 30, If we're in Jesus' hands and he's in the Father's hand and we're sealed unto the day of redemption, and no man, he said, can take us out. Well, it just depends, he says, you know, I might just walk away myself. And I try to explain Now, even Chuck was born once. And he's got the family's name that he was born into, I think, unless he's been adopted. See, I've never asked him that, and I'm not asking him now. But even if he was adopted, and we'll try and make a point here, even if he was adopted, or he said, I just don't want nothing to do with that family anymore, I just write them off, they're nothing to me, he's still part of that family he was born into. You know why? Because of the blood. And when a person's born into the family of God, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses a person from their sin, and it's Jesus Christ that gives them eternal life, the gift that he purchased on Calvary's cross, and it's a gift. You can't do anything to get it other than just receive it. It's already paid for. It's taken care of. And it's whosoever will may come and get it and have it. And once you've got it, you become a child of God, or as the Bible talks about being born again and becoming a child of God, now you're part of God's family. You're one of God's children. And why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I just don't want anything to do with that anymore. I just think I'll just go back to my old way of life. You're still going to heaven because you're one of God's children. But it may be all hay, wood, and stubble. You know, it's what we need to work at. And it's not to get saved. It's not to stay saved. But it's one day that we might stand before the Lord and he say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. If there were no gifts, if there were no rewards, if there was nothing whatsoever that we was going to get when we got there, it would be worth it all just to be there. I don't understand. I know that we all, in our hearts and minds, it's called intuitive. It's something that God has given us. We all have a desire to worship something or someone. That's why there's so many people, and they're worshiping rocks and stones and stars and sun and moon and all of those things. Because it's in everybody. It's within them to worship someone or something. Some people worship their car. Oh, well, no, I don't worship my car. What's number one on your list? What's most important to you? See, whatever's number one or whatever's on your list that's up there, and if it's above the Lord, if you spend more time on that and your heart's desire is more and more and more and more of that, but your heart's desire is not toward the Lord, what's your God? A lot of people's gods are things. And what a waste. There's nothing wrong with things, okay? There's nothing wrong with things. God wants us to have things. That's a whole different message. God wants to bless us with things. But number one, God wants us to love him and worship him. And thank him for his goodness to us. There's not a day goes by or a meal goes by, and sometimes just a little treat that a wife will walk by and she say, here. And that's not meal time. And I'll say, thank you, Lord. and she's not my Lord. I'm saying thank you, Lord, for the treat, for the thing that we got. It's a blessing to have things. But if it were not for God, we wouldn't have any of it. God is good. God is loving. God wants to take care of us if we'll let him. And then here and there, we think about the deeds, and he remembers them. What we do for him, and he knows what's going to happen in eternity ahead. He already knows who's going to do what. He knows the very thought and intent of our hearts. I've been places and given invitations, and people raise their hands all over the place. None of them hardly ever follow through with any of it. They're going by their feelings. See, the just live by faith. Some do it for show so other people can see them. Boy, look at there how righteous they are and how religious they are. I don't care if anybody sees me at all. I don't care. And I don't even like raising my hand for anything. Because what I do is between myself and God. And if I want somebody to pray for me, I'll go up and say, "Brother, would you pray for me?" But sometimes when there's a group, you know, and does anybody need prayer or somebody got a problem or something, you know, that we can pray about, you don't have to say what it is. I mean, it's good when we have prayer meeting like we are tonight, and we ought to have that because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's answer to prayer when other people pray for you. Thank God that we have an avenue where we can take other people before the Lord and pray for them. We can't answer it, but God can, and God looks on the heart. Then he keeps our departed loved ones. Notice with me, and I'm going to try and get back there to it, and it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's past Philippians, okay. So I'll get over there. Christ is coming again. To be absent from the body, Paul says, to be present with the Lord for those that have died. When we read in the Bible those that have fell asleep in the Lord, that's those that have died in the Lord. They're not sleeping. They're dead. But that's only the body that we look at. The spirit returns back to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes, I believe it's chapter 12, but I'd have to turn over there to it. But talking about our loved ones that have gone on, and then looking at ourselves, Christ is going to return one day, and how is he going to find you and I that are still here? What are we going to be doing? I know that Jesus said, "When I return to the earth, shall I find anyone that really has any faith?" Will there be any faith on the earth? Will there be any fear of God? In the direction that things are turning and going right now, I wonder. We have a job before us, and that is to get the gospel, get the truth of the Word of God out to people so that people can know what's right and what's wrong, and people can know the way. We can introduce them to the way. And Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved in Acts 4:12. Christ's going to return one day. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's those that have died. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And I'll tell you, if you're without Christ, you've got no hope. There's a lot of people that I talk to every week, pretty much. And I run into people, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. When's the last, where do you go to church? Well, I don't. Or when's the last time you were in church? Well, I don't really know. There's some that, you know, and praise God for the things that we did here trying to get people to get in here on Easter. But there's people, and it brings tears to my eyes when people answer this way. Well, I've got some things I got to do and got to get with the grandkids, and we've got all this stuff to do. The person I'm talking to knows what the truth is. But the things outside are more important than bringing them in and introducing them to Jesus so they can get saved and they can have the assurance that heaven will be their home and the family won't be broken up. You know, like that song says, will the circle be unbroken? I agree 100% with what Pastor said, and as far as these things that are going on around and these people shooting people and things. If they'd have been brought up, if the parents would have raised them the right way and got them into church and brought them up and they had a fear of God in their hearts and in their lives and had a love for people and life, this wouldn't be going on. It wouldn't be going on. Stupid stuff that's going on. I just shake my head. Got another one. It says, for if we believe, I like to say since we believe, but the if is, have you believed? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? But I like to say since. That is, those of faith, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep or have died in their faith, looking forward to Jesus coming, Jesus will. That is, God will bring them with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the day of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep or which have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm looking for that day. I'm looking toward that day. And I know I'm not foolish enough to say that it's not near, and it's nearer today than it was yesterday. But I have no fear of it. Because this world is not my home. I'm just a stranger passing through. But while I'm here, and while you're here, while we're here as children of God, we need to be telling as many people and inviting as many people as we can to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior before it's eternally too late. There is no second chance, like some people say. You know, there's no purgatory or anything like that, like I was taught as a youngster. And then I got through out of the, I'll just say it because, I mean, you know what I'm talking about anyway. I got through out of the Catholic Church, by the way. Would you believe that? A nice guy like me, I got through out of the Catholic Church. And I spent a lot of time in catechism and learning and training. And then I one day I said, my turn, Father. And I says, that's the last time I'm going to call you Father. I said, my Father is in heaven. I wasn't even saved. I said, I'll call you Reverend, I'll call you Preacher, I'll call you Pastor, but I'm not calling you Father anymore. But I said, now I want to ask you some questions. Where does this thing, you know, this and I told Pastor the other day, I said, I just got me a new rosary in the mail. I did. So they sent me a rosary. I don't know what to do with it. They didn't even give me different color beads on it. So, I mean, if I make any lures for fishing or anything, you know, the beads, the crazy thing's all going to be the same. You know, I only need one or two, you know, one kind. I don't need a whole box full of the same thing. But I said, where does this come from? I see the Word of God says repetition in prayer. You're just out there talking in the wind. Yes, our Heavenly Father, as children of God, He wants us to come to Him, let our heart's desires be known to Him. Even though He's omniscient and knows, He still wants us. You know, like our own kids, we know many times our own kids, we know what they need, what they want, but yet we want them to come to us and voice the thing that they would like to have. It's nice to have communication. I loved it. I mean, when our kids were coming up, I liked our kids to come and talk and say, Dad, you know, something, they needed something, or they didn't maybe need something. They just come and they talk, you know, and sometimes even thank us. And I'm talking about the wife and I. They would thank us for things that we did for them, some of the sacrifices that we made. They knew we went without things so that they could have things. But look at our Heavenly Father. He wants to bless us. He wants us to have happiness. He wants us to have peace in our hearts and minds. I was going to say, I hope that's not mine. I told the wife, I said, you know, I put it in my pocket and never turned it on. She said, that's good, don't. Got a call. I'm heading out the door and the telephone's ringing. And another preacher calling, wanting to talk with me. I said, I can't not know. But anyway, pray for that situation too. I don't know what it is. I'll talk with them when I get home. But He takes care of our loved ones. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we which remain. We're going to be taken up. We're going to be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye, it tells us there in 1 Corinthians 15. And then the day of reckoning. And I'm looking at the clock, so I better get moving here. The day of reckoning. Paul tells us that God will keep that which He's committed unto Him against that day. That's a second part there of verse 12 we're coming back to. I better get out of Thessalonians if I'm going to do that. But the last part of it, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." That day will be a day of judgment. Now, we all know that we're all going to stand before Christ one day at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give some answers why we did some things the way that we did. Romans 8:1 says, "There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Does that mean we're perfect? If we're perfect, 1 John 1:9 wouldn't be in the Bible. "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It will be a day of accounting. Christian will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We will give an answer. But the unsaved man, and I'm going to go over there just read a couple verses, and then we're going to get out of there, but that's over in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and verses 11 through 15. And I'll warn you ahead of time, if you're not saved, you don't want to be there. You want to get saved. You don't want to be there. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Folks, someday I'll share a little bit about fire with you. Someday maybe I've never really given my testimony what led up to me getting saved and some of the things that happened and how hard I was and even how many years after I was burned severely. I still said, I'll just do what I want to do. I hope there's nobody here tonight that says, I'll just do what I want to do. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus went on that cross and suffered and died and suffered all the shame and the agony and the beating and stuff, beatings that he went through before he ever went to that cross for you and I, that we wouldn't have to suffer. When he shed his blood and he died on that cross and he was taken down and he was buried, thank God that he rose again like he said he would. And that's what the angels told the people that came to the grave and came to the tomb. He's not here, for he's risen as he said he would. "For why seek ye the living among the dead?" He's not here. He's alive. And he's alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father, making for you and I. Turn away from him. Think of how much he loves you. Ask him if you don't know how to love him. Ask him to help you. To learn to love him. Word of God says that if we believe that Jesus died and was buried and he rose again, he said, Jesus tells us that we can be saved, God tells us that we can be saved, and he tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll not turn anybody away. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be concerned about being rejected. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now when you get saved, get baptized afterward, get into church here and become a member and get busy for the Lord. There's a lot of people out there, and there's a lot of people that we know. We've been saved, many of us, for a long time. There's a lot of people we know. A lot of people going to say no, not interested. Just keep on. Pray for them. Don't chase them away. Don't close the doors so that somebody else can't talk to them. You know, don't win one battle and lose the war. Sometimes I have to tell, and I'll say it this way, sometimes I have to tell the Lord to zip my lip or put a button on my mouth. It gets easier after it's been done a few times. But let God be the one that leads and directs, God the Holy Spirit, and have his will and his way, because unless he convicts them and draws them, they're not going to get saved anyway. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for this evening that we've had together. Thank you for your word.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.